It's the WNKY South Central Kentucky Weather Weekly with WNKY TV meteorologists Cody Bailey and Christy Stewart.
Thank you, Kirk. Welcome, everybody, into WNKY Weather Weekly episode 56. It's been a couple weeks since we've talked to you, but we are back this week, and I will explain why we weren't on last week in just a minute. We are recording this episode on Wednesday, November 20th, and this is going to be taking us throughout pretty much the end of November. So this episode will be valid from November 21st until November 28th. I'm meteorologist Christy Stewart.
And I'm meteorologist Cody Bailey.
Yep.
We're back.
We are back, and we have a lot to talk about. So we've got a couple big, exciting announcements to make to kick off the episode. We are also going to be talking about some changes in the way that the National Weather Service is going to be providing some alerts out to us. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we are coming towards the end of November, so we'll have a little bit of a sort of recap of what's happened so far with November. I know we had that very cold spell.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of where we left off last time. We didn't really talk about that too much, so I guess we'll talk about that some more. And then we will be having Thanksgiving coming up. Technically, Thanksgiving falls into our next episode, but normal people get to have vacation time. They don't work every day like us. So we are going to talk a little bit about that Thanksgiving history, as we might have to push that episode back a couple of days, at least for the release date, which would be past Thanksgiving. So might as well cover it now ahead of Thanksgiving. And of course, we will have an outlook of your 7-day forecast.
Yeah.
Sounds like a jam-packed episode.
It does, but I think we'll be under the normal threshold, I think.
I think so, too.
Time. But, yeah.
It should be all right.
A lot to catch up on since we've been out. But.
Well, one thing that we found out today is our DMA rank changed. So, to a lot of you, that probably means nothing. and it really won't mean anything to you. But for us, it's exciting. So, a DMA is just the designated market area. So, when you see our maps that highlight six counties, that's essentially what our DMA is. It's the market that can see us on air. And so we used to be 181, and now we are 177.
Yeah, which,
moving on up.
Again, to you watching at home, you won't notice a difference or anything like that. but it does. It's basically a measurement of how many the rankings go from essentially how many households can watch you over the air. And it kind of goes hand in hand with your signal reach, too. Which also, if you remember our rescan day last month, I believe, it was to expand our signal, not for the market of Bowling Green, but for us as a station. So to go along with that, I just had that thought that we are possibly reaching more households than we had before because our signal goes out further too. But so it may not sound like a lot, but jumping up about four spots is a pretty big jump in the world of TV rankings. So yes, for us, very exciting. For you, probably
doesn't mean anything.
Ring a bell at
it's
all.
Not gonna change anything, but that's all right. Yeah, very exciting for us. And then one thing that's exciting for us and you.
Yeah.
The reason why we weren't on the air last week, we have a very exciting announcement. Mm-hmm. We are going to be getting a new system for our weather graphics.
Yeah.
Been a long time in the making.
This has been a painstakingly long process, and it is finally here.
Yes.
So, yes, it's going to be out with the old and in with the new, a big difference in what you're going to be seeing. I was told what we have right now is we've had for 4 years. I can tell you, based on some of the graphics and the copyright dates, that this is far older than 4 years old. I thought we had it for longer than 4 years, too, but the system we use right now, which, again, for some of you, 4 to 8 years old doesn't sound like much, but just think of your cell phones.
Yeah.
4 to 8 years in technology world is old.
Yes.
So, and as fast as technology advances, you just get further and further behind, and your capabilities become limited. But the most important thing is also, which is almost our case, is that I ran into the issue at my last market, too, in Fort Wayne, where our stuff was so old that the company we bought it from had gone under 2 to 3 different buyouts, so they had a completely different company name, and they were also ending support services for that. So that is also an issue that you face, especially in TV. But so yeah, we were out last week because that was our training week for this new system.
Yes.
It's different for us on this side of the TV screen, and also it's going to be a lot different for the other side, what we show you too. So
they're going to look better.
It is, yes.
Newer, sleeker.
Oh,
we're into the modern age now. It's going to look like we're headed into 2020, not like, I don't know, early 2000s. Yeah.
Not quite that at all.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of, I don't want to spoil too much because I'm sure we'll show it off a little bit on the air. But there's a lot of cool features that we can do that we've never been able to do before. And one specific thing, at least in my mind, that I don't believe you have seen at all in this market too. So some fancy new features, some state-of-the-art, really just makes it more visually appealing, but also, especially when it comes to severe weather, that's where the big difference is going to be seen. So not that we want severe weather, but we are now more than equipped to handle severe weather coverage and tracking if that happens too. So
yes, it's going to be looking better. It'll be more functional. Obviously, we have a small weather team, so it'll be more functional if we have severe weather for a one-man band going on here. We don't have to keep running back and forth to the computer, back on TV, and things like that. So. Yeah, when we get alerts, we can pull them up right there. We don't have to, again, come back to the computer and read up on it and stuff. So it will be a lot nicer, and it's going to be looking a lot better. We spent some time picking out a nice little graphics package and building these new graphics. Really excited. They look really good. You'll have to bear with us if we get distracted on air and we're like, oh, wow, I didn't know it could do that. That's really cool. Check it out, guys.
I'm just going to go ahead and ask for extra time now for my weather so I can have some time to be distracted. Probably. Yeah. No, but on a day-to-day basis, it's going to be, you know, your general forecast, you're going to notice those fancy new graphics, but it's really going to shine with severe weather or active weather. There's a lot of winter products too for both active weather and also forecast products that I'm excited to use too.
Again,
not that I want to, because I don't necessarily want all the road
but it's bound to happen at least a couple times. And we already had one event this year.
That's right.
And it happened when we were training, and I was kind of upset. I was like, man, if we only had this a couple weeks earlier, or if only this weather system waited a couple more weeks, then we could have shown you the really cool stuff.
Yeah.
But one thing is that we'll be able to show you road temperatures.
Yes.
Which will be...
That's my favorite of the winter, I think.
I think that's my favorite for winter, too. And it's not only going to be helpful, obviously, for you to learn when we can expect those road temperatures to drop. But I know right now, for us, it's a little bit harder to forecast that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So to have a model that's actually in the computer system for us that can help with that. And we'll be able to obviously show better timing and when we are expecting the stuff to stick on the ground and whatever else we might have. So that is very exciting. We've got a few other new products that we can show you guys as well, which obviously, depending on the time of year, we'll have to display that.
Yeah.
Another one, I mean, I think we have an improved visibility map, which I'm excited about.
That's going to be good,
We also have a road conditions map, which is nice. It's,
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, so it'll show...
There's been so much to learn this last week.
I know. There's been a lot. And we've had them make a couple special graphics, too. But the road conditions one is cool because it'll show you if it's dry, if it's wet, if it's icy, if it's snow-covered. And I think that really helps, too, as far as, like, I know our last event for the school closings... Some people were like, okay, I'm driving on the roads and it's fine. Why is school not in session? Well, on our map that we had when we were training, I pulled it up, and it was like in some of the rural portions of a few counties, those roads were still very icy. So then obviously it's not safe for the bus to drive on that.
Yeah.
So that'll be a better illustrator, better prepare you for your morning commute because obviously we're kind of limited and I hate that sometimes that I'm like, patchy areas, but I'm like, I wish I could tell you what patch is, and now I can kind of give you a better idea of those patches.
Yeah.
So
down
that
the street
will be,
level.
Yes. So that will be exciting to show that stuff. I think that's the main things that you'll notice now because obviously we are in winter. Mm-hmm. Of course, we can still have severe weather happening in the winter. So maybe you'll see one of those products being broken out sometime.
Yeah.
But that will be exciting. I think we need maybe a little bit more practice on that. So hopefully that severe weather holds off a little bit longer so we can practice a little bit more getting used to some of the new things, new tools that we have, new toys.
Yeah, that's what, that's what I'm calling it. It just the training was fun, but now I'm just so... So we have it off in a different location, not in our studio right now because it's going to be a swap over day that we have. And it's so hard to, it's on my way to the kitchen area when I go make my dinner at night. And I'm like, man, I just want to go in there and just play around for a while, which we were told to do. So, I mean, we have permission.
We were told to do.
So, yes, it's very exciting. A lot of cool features. Just overall, a very improved look, too. So it's going to, and I think at least the color side of it complements our news graphics too. So
yeah,
I think overall it's going to be a pretty consistent look from news to weather to sports. So that obviously makes everything smooth as well. But yeah, it's going to be fancy for that eye-catching for the first
Very
few days.
Exciting.
So we're excited to show it off.
Yes, and I know that Baron, who's the company that owns this graphic system that we have, they are excited as well. I believe that they said that we were the last people to have this old version.
So when we said, technology world, it's old. That's how old. Out of, again, we just talked about the rankings. We're 177 out of 210.
Yes, right? 210.
So there are 210 TV stations in the country. Not all of them have Baron, but... yeah, we were one out of that lot.
Yeah, so, one of the very last ones to have Omni, which is what our old system is. We're going to finally say goodbye to it.
And they are just as excited as we are because they said now we don't have to worry about servicing this anymore.
I know. And it was hard, too, because they were kind of phasing it out. So a lot of the new things they weren't making, obviously, for Omni, so we couldn't get some of those new cool explainer graphics, which we'll be able to have now with links. And we might show those on air again. You know, it's kind of hard when we're constrained to a certain time limit to show you these cool things and explainers, but
maybe we should make a live podcast, a visual.
Hey, we might, we do have a camera. We might do that sometime. maybe next week's podcast. We'll do that.
It'll be 45 minutes of, wow. Look at that. Did you see that?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys want to tune in for that, but I guess you could if you really wanted to. But it'll be fun, and I'm excited for it, and it's not going to crash on us. So you remember way back when I had to do that paper forecast?
That was the beginning of the end right there.
Yes, that was the beginning of the end. And now we are finally going to see the very end of this.
It was like nature's way of telling us to upgrade.
Pretty much, yeah.
This is down.
Yeah. And, yeah, just to go to show again, like, basically why it crashed was the computer couldn't handle all the new model data coming in all the time. And so that's just, again, how old our system is, which, like you said, it's basically like having a 6-year-old cell phone.
Yeah,
you can't do anything with it besides what you already have.
Yeah,
and if you want to try something new, then it might crash it. So
things change fast, and obviously with the improvements that you're going to see, higher resolution, things like that, they are bigger files of data to take in too. So while the quality was improving, the hardware was not that we had, so that's why I just really couldn't handle the new stuff. So we were able to see some improvements, you know, with different model data and stuff on our current system, but it got to the point where it just couldn't handle it anymore. But yeah, like the example of the cell phone, you know, just imagine all the stuff that you can do today on the phone, but trying to do it with like an iPhone 4 or 5, like you'd be way behind and not really going to be able to do as much as you could. So yeah, we're super excited. So
yeah,
that's coming your way by the end of this podcast. Not today, but the date. We will have it early next week. So depending on when you're listening to this, you may have your mind blown already.
Yes.
Which I hope you will. Not literally, obviously.
The official launch dates, I guess we can talk about those now since they're shouldn't be moving, but unless we have some catastrophic issue with moving the things into the right place, hopefully not, but as long as we don't, we are going to be launching that Tuesday on November 26th for the 5 o'clock show.
Some cool travel, you know, you mentioned the road temperatures and road conditions, right in time for Thanksgiving travel. So
exactly.
I'm excited for all those graphics.
Yes, that too. So we're going to be launching that. The 5 p.m. will be the first newscast where you can tune in and see the new Baron system. And then if you are a morning fan, you will be seeing that Wednesday morning on the 27th. And hopefully we'll have enough time to practice over our graphics and stuff. So don't mess up or anything like that with the new system.
It's daunting with something so different.
I know.
In one, not even a day, just a couple of hours. I think the literal time frame is right when Christie's off the air at 12:30 for Soap at Noon, they're going to take all these computers out, flip them in, and hopefully have it ready to go by the evening newscast at 5.
So I better have everything done, submitted, everything posted to social media by the time that the end of that newscast is, because they are coming in here and, they are unplugging and replugging things in. And hopefully everything will go well and we will have weather for you at 5 p.m. on Tuesday.
I hope so.
But no, I think it'll be fine. It should be a smooth transition. Should be great.
Yeah.
New computers for us, new keyboards. I'm kind of excited about that too.
They're just not the little things.
Yeah. The keyboards that we have now are like kind of those old clunkier keyed keyboards. It's not like the flat, smooth faced keyboards. Now we have the smooth ones. We'll get some new monitors. Mm-hmm. None of that matters to you guys. Obviously, you're only going to care about the on air side of it. But obviously, we're pretty excited about it. I think everyone is. And hopefully, you guys are excited about the new graphics as well.
Yeah. I know I am. I know we are.
Exactly. All right. So, those are the announcements that we had to go over, which is very exciting things. Probably more so for us than for you. But, anyways, you guys listen to 15 minutes of us talking about that.
Enough about it.
Yes. So, on to some other weather things. Real quick, we'll throw it in there. Weather at WNKY.com.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've got any topic suggestions, any questions, anything like that, questions about our new system.
Yeah. Graphic ideas now that we can do a lot more.
Yes.
Hey, why not open
You can
it up?
Do that. And I don't know. Yeah. Any suggestions for new things? Whatever you want to send our way. If you, you can even tell us how much you love the new graphics. Yeah. We'll accept that. And if you're a fan of the visual podcast with a tutorial through Baron, sure, we'll do that for you as well. All right, so the National Weather Service has been streamlining some processes over the past couple of years, and they've got a new one that they're doing.
Yes, so I don't remember which one was the most recent. I think we were talking before we went on today, over the last couple of years, specifically winter products, they've tried to simplify because there were a ton of winter products that were just really, even for forecasters, let alone the public, it was very confusing. So they've kind of grouped them into the main segments of, you know, winter weather watch, advisory, winter storm warning, things like that, to try and cut down on the number and to try and cut down on the confusion. A couple of years ago as well, they began what is known as impact-based warnings, which they abbreviate IBWs, and they started it with severe products. And this year, actually starting here in a couple of weeks, December 1st, they're going to be adding this to flood warnings and advisories and things like that. Same with winter weather. There's a lot of different flooding products. This isn't that same idea of cutting down on the number of products, but just the impact-based. So the issue with severe impact-based warnings, they keep track of things kind of behind the scenes that you don't see, but there are some markets, some locations across the country where they will issue, for example, tornado warnings anytime there's like a funnel cloud sighting or radar indicated rotation. But in some locations, they found that over time, the more often a tornado warning is issued with no actual tornado, the less likely people are to take action in future warnings, because it's going to be what they call the false alarm ratio. So they used impact-based warnings to cut down on the minor, weaker tornadoes, and basically some, it's still kind of a loose criteria, but they're just trying to make it more of a strict, unless it's confirmed or a clear signature on radar issued tornado warning. If not, the impact-based warning with severe weather was included in your general severe weather severe thunderstorm warning, rather. So I know we've had a couple that we've used on air where they have put that, you know, for example, a severe thunderstorm warning for Warren County, some impacts, 60 mile per hour winds. There's also the possibility of a weak tornado because there's some rotation. I know we had a couple of those this past summer because we were tracking some areas of rotation. So it's usually the chance of maybe a weaker tornado, maybe not even the main threat of a storm, but it is possible. So they try to cut down on the false alarm, but I still think there's some work to do in that one, but that's another conversation.
Right. But me too. But
the newest one, again, for flood warnings. So what they're going to be doing is basically having, so that is known as a tag. When they have the tornado possible tag, that's a tag at the bottom of the advisory information. So there's going to be three tag levels, two actual tags. The first tag is what they call no tags. So that's a little confusing.
That is confusing.
They call it base. So that's just a general, basically what we have now is a flash flood warning. You know, usually it's a lot of rain has fallen over the area, some flood-prone areas, nothing widespread, but some areas that are prone to flooding could experience some flash flooding over the course of the next couple of hours. The two tags that they have added to make this an impact base, and again, impact base warnings are warnings issued just like that based on what impacts are expected, and in this case, the level of severity. So the next level will be a considerable flooding tag, which means they will use it rarely. So that first base with no tag is going to be the most often because that's what's already in place, basically. They will rarely use the considerable tag because it's only when there are indications that flash flooding capable of unusual severity is happening or is imminent and when urgent action is needed. So we typically don't, I feel like, you know, we're not outside of the river areas here in Southern Kentucky. We don't deal with a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're right on the rivers where that can happen quickly. And then the next level obviously would be even more rare for us. In fact, they say use exceedingly rarely is catastrophic. So the two tags, considerable and catastrophic, are the ones that they will use. And if I'm reading this correctly, I know I told you before we went on today, what is called the WEAs, which I believe stands for Weather Emergency Alerts, which is the system that controls when your phones go off during severe warnings and things like that, those will now be set apparently to just those two tags, the considerable and catastrophic, which means most of our flash flood warnings will not go out over the system. So that's the same thing. I know a lot of people, it scares them if they're asleep, so they just shut it off right away. So I think they're trying to get that idea of if this goes off, then that's a big deal, as opposed to kind of that false alarm, get used to an idea where, oh, just a flood warning, get rid of it. So I can kind of see it in that point, but if I'm reading that correctly, yes, and that's been actually one of the paragraphs talks about that. It says, the public perception is that the National Weather Service over-alerts flash flood warnings, which I do get,
right,
because they do go off a lot during flooding events. So I guess that makes sense, and again, it's all for the same idea. Impact based is to try and make it more specific, and also to try and eliminate that mentality of, oh, here's another one, where if it goes off in terms of your phone now, that means that something is happening instead of just, oh, flooding, well, it's just raining hard. It's not really flooding. So I don't really see much in a way outside of that change. So basically for us, with most of our warnings for flooding being general, you're probably going to notice a cutback big time of your phone going off during flood mm-hmm. warnings. I don't expect us to be seeing considerable or catastrophic tag warnings. So, and then they're adding other things too, just like severe weather with tornadoes. They're adding in the warning flash flood as radar indicated or observed. So kind of the same thing if it's happening or radar indicated. And then the event tag itself will be for, you know, in rivers, they'll talk about dam or levee failure possibilities, and also for roads and things like that, expected rainfall, how many inches per hour, which, you know, usually they'll indicate in the text anyway, but they're going to add specific segments of the warning. So, again, warning-wise, not a lot of difference that you'll notice on the receiving end as the public, but I think the biggest noticeable change will be that your phone doesn't go off as mm-hmm. much for a flood warning, at least in this part of the country.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, those areas that are along riverbed, mainly bigger rivers, like not like the Barren River. I'm talking about like the Mississippi River, the Ohio River, things like that. Those areas more prone to flooding could possibly get a little bit more of those other tagged warnings than we do. So the warning products themselves for us won't change. It's just how they're released and brought to the public is changing. So I thought that was interesting. And
yeah,
I know they're trying that, like you mentioned, on winter weather, and they've tried it on severe weather. So it's all for the better. Of course, all these things are trial and error. So this is the first season that they're going to try this in. So,
and I think they've had a good response with the other ones that they've already tried out, because they're still implementing it and obviously still bringing it to other products, which I could see being good because then it really focuses your attention to the main important mm-hmm. events. And we do hear that a lot. They're like, oh, it's just another tornado warning, or oh, it's just another flood warning. So now it really will be like, oh, it must be important if it's actually going off for me now. But at the same time, I don't know, because I could also see it kind of backfiring a little bit and like, well, why is this road flooded? Yeah. But nobody told me it was going to be flooded. Like, so I don't know. I guess you just be more mindful of that. It's not going to tell you more about those minor flooded areas. It'll just tell you about more of those major floodings for your phone alerts anyway. Obviously, we'll still keep you updated on the other types of flooding.
Right. But because we do have, you know, a bunch of those little rivers or tributaries and some creeks here, too, that especially Drake's Creek in southern Warren County, kind of, it's a small creek, so it fills up fast. So if you get a heavy rainstorm, that's going to flood pretty quickly. I don't think it's under that catastrophic or considerable tag.
Right.
But it would be something that, you know, can change really fast. And I was going to bring up the point, too, kind of on the opposite end of that. I remember a couple of nights over the summer where we had some flood warnings issued, and they were canceled early because the rain stopped and the water just went down really quickly. So kind of the reverse effect of that, where the flood warning was issued and then canceled, I mean, the order of a couple of hours early because things had improved so much, which is good. But it just kind of goes that same idea of trying to cause less confusion and make it more clear. And when this goes off or this alert goes out, that's when you need to take action. So,
which makes sense.
It's all for the better, but again, trial and error, so they'll see how this goes. It again begins on December 1st with these products for the Louisville office, but this is a nationwide initiative, and I think that's the deadline for Weather Service offices to make that switch to impact-based flood warning advisories. So that'll be, you know, might not be something we deal with for the next couple of months because we're in the winter side of things, but will be something that we'll test out when we get closer to those spring rains that can bring some flooding to the area early next year. So that's what we're looking at, impact-based wise and advisory-wise. So always fun to see what they're up to and how that affects us, too, because we are responsible for providing that information to the public. So
exactly.
Hopefully the better.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing would be if you're used to hearing those alerts going off and ignoring them, now just know maybe I shouldn't ignore it. Maybe I should actually pay attention to it. And I think that might just be the biggest change in general with them implementing this new thing. But they are trying to do it to all of their products. And like we said, they've already done it to the severe weather. Mm-hmm. They've done it to the winter weather. And now they're working on the flooding. I don't know what other plans they have in the future for it. But I think those are the main ones, at least for us anyway, that we would be impacted by. I don't know if they're doing more stuff, you know, in other parts of the country, like fire or something like that, that would impact California and areas like that. But for us, that's the main ones that we are going to be caring about. So those changes are just good to know about. Mm-hmm. And also, I guess we could talk about weather in general, what we've been having the past couple of weeks here.
Yeah, no flooding, but man, it's been a little chilly.
You even got a little snow out there a couple weeks ago.
It's it reminds me of the I mentioned, I think it was our last episode that we did, was the April snow of 2018, where it was only I think like a tenth of an inch, but it doesn't really snow in April, so just that small amount was enough to set a record. Now we did have over an inch last week, the one day. Was also a record, but that was only a tenth of an inch, too. So just kind of shows that that's all it took to break a record that day, and it doesn't typically snow that early.
I guess in total with that system, we had like 1.3 inches of snow with it. But because we record our records from midnight to 11:59 p.m., majority of it fell on Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. And we had that 1.2, which did set a record for that. But then the next day, it was the 0.1. And then I know that was probably a little bit confusing. You're like, 0.1, but it didn't snow that day. Well, it happened after midnight, like before you woke up. Yeah. And then you got that much. But, yeah, that was
a little interesting. Keep us on our toes. It was, and a lot of people asked, it was not the earliest snow ever. We actually talked about it on our last show. I think the record for Bowling Green's earliest snow is like the 28th of October, I think. I know it was
just
before Halloween.
Yeah, it was just before Halloween.
So it is earlier than normal, but it was not the earliest snow. But a lot of schools calling off. I think the first day, at least, it was all of our county schools were out. So a little bit earlier than normal on that right, too, with school delays and closings. But the bigger story after the snow fell was the temperatures. Of course, most of this month so far has been below average. That day that we saw 0.1 inch of snow for the record was also a record-setting day for temperatures. We had in the afternoon that day was a record cold high. I believe we only made it to 27 degrees, which is over,
yeah.
At that point, was about 12 degrees colder than our average low. So, yes, a very record-setting day. And then that night, just before midnight again, we set a record low for that day as well. So, a lot of records that day that we didn't necessarily want to see.
Yeah, record cold high temperature.
Yeah.
The previous one of that was 32 degrees.
Yeah.
So we not only broke it, but like by a handful of degrees.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this earlier today too. A few degrees or a few number different would maybe not on paper sound like much, but in terms of weather and especially in terms of records, if you beat that by a few degrees, that is what we would consider shattered, I think.
Yeah.
So from 32 to 27, that's a big difference record-wise. Right. Same thing with average. We'll talk about averages, you know, being so far off of an average. Average temperature, when you're factoring in, especially an above or below average temperature, an average of an average, any big difference is like, whoa, because you're taking the high and the low. And that leads into...
And it's like multiple years and like...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're looking at right now with this month. Of course... As we mentioned earlier, may or may not be here next week for Thanksgiving. We'll try and be vague about the rest of the month. But as of now, we are on pace to be one of the coldest in terms of top 10 rankings for November's on record for Bowling Green. At one point, after that very cold spell, we were in the top 3. I think now we're floating near and just outside of the top 5, depending on how temperatures go the next few days. But really, it has been a month dominated by below-average temperatures.
Yeah, I don't think it's surprising to hear that, considering we were so cold. And it just felt like we had 1 or 2 days of fall, and then it just went into winter right away.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even like a December winter. It was like, we're going into January, like our hard 1 week cold spell in November instead of in like the end of January, beginning of February. So I think that was kind of... interesting too, but at least now we are seeing a little bit milder temperatures, still below average though.
Yeah.
But it feels more like fall, at least, that we've been missing the past couple of weeks.
So in terms of recording this podcast, lately it's been more mild, and that's why we've kind of gradually shifted closer to the top 5 or just outside of the top 5. There are a couple days in the extended forecast as of now that go a little bit above average. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy warm to knock us out of the top 10. I think our pace right now should probably keep us in the top 10 for coldest Novembers. And, of course, we'll have to see after Thanksgiving how that goes out. As of now, it's about up to Thanksgiving that our forecast goes out to. So after that last few days, who knows how that'll hold up. But I think because, you know, I mentioned how hard it is to warm averages by degrees. Right now, we're in that, I think, falling from 3rd to 5th or 6th because those are all separated by about a 10th or so each ranking.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to like 7th place to 10th, I think those are like about 2 to 3 degrees warmer than where our average is right now. So that's why I think we're probably a safe bet for a top 10, because you would need probably some pretty big swings over the next couple weeks to get us warmed average by 2 to 3 degrees. So
yeah,
and there are a couple days still that are below average in the forecast, so
yeah,
I think we'll probably end up in the top 10. Where at though is kind of up in the air right now.
Yeah, because in order to not be in the top 10, we would have to have like a crazy warm spell.
Yeah, and I don't
like
see
the
that.
Last week, and yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I think the crazy warm spell we would have would be actually normal temperatures.
Yeah,
so
based on how cold we've been, that's
I think we'll be all right.
So we'll have to see.
Officially, we'll tell you next podcast, I guess. Well, maybe the one after that because, well, no, it would be the next one. All right. Anyways.
Forget what I said.
Yeah.
But that will, yeah, like you mentioned, it will go through.
Forgot we're already at the end of November.
Since we are a later, and this works as a good segue, I guess, but we are at a later Thanksgiving year. So we have to wait an extra week to see, you know, after Thanksgiving, there's only 2 days left in the month. So it's a quick turnaround this year with the later week. But by late next week, we should have a better handle on what the month will look like. But also going into the Thanksgiving, I was just thinking of this too with, we always do these for holidays, but I'm sure some of the differences may depend on what years had a later Thanksgiving versus others.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
Thinking coldest and snowiest is probably those later years.
Didn't even think
weeks,
about that, yeah.
Warmest, wettest, maybe more on the early side? I don't know.
Could be. Well, I guess you were alluding to our Thanksgiving weather
Spoiler
history.
Alert.
Yeah. but we'll go over that real quick since I'm not exactly sure when that next episode will be released.
Yeah.
But the warmest was quite warm, 75 degrees.
Mm.
That was a long time ago, 1896.
Way before my time.
In anybody that's listening time. Yeah. So very warm, although I would not be complaining if I had a Thanksgiving that warm, especially after this cold that we've had. The coldest, I'm guessing that they had one of those Arctic cold blasts. A couple years, actually, that this has happened. The coldest was 15 degrees, first seen in 1912 and then again in 1950. Now, also in 1950, that was the snowiest, which was 2.1 inches of snow that fell that year on Thanksgiving. So, yeah, I feel like that was kind of a system that we just had not that long ago, but it came through, you know, when Thanksgiving was happening. The wettest Thanksgiving that we've had was 2.03 inches of rain in 1959. So that's pretty rainy. At least Thanksgiving is an indoor event for the most part, unless you're frying a turkey, but you know.
True.
Yeah, it looks like the 50s, they had some active Thanksgivings.
And it kind of keeps the streak alive. I think it's like the last two or three holidays that have been no recent records set. I think Halloween and Labor Day, the last two, have been kind of that same idea. Maybe some 1950s, 1930s records that have stood the test of time for a while, I think. But again, it's kind of at this point a little too early to see our pattern to show what would be in jeopardy. I don't think we're going to be dealing with, at least as of now, it doesn't look like any wintry precipitation. I know there's talks, not just here in our region, but a lot, obviously, a big travel day around Thanksgiving before and after. But there looks to be a midweek system next week that could impact travel across the region. Again, exactly where, still kind of uncertain as of now, but there are some possible impacts there. But it looks like for most of us in the eastern half of the U.S., that it would be a rain event.
Yeah, looks like
so
a rain event.
So I would say of any records, I don't think warmest. I really don't think coldest either. So
no.
I guess rain would be the only one that has a possibility. But even that,
I don't think
it looks more before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't think that we'll be seeing too much rain. Now, I haven't, to be fair, I haven't really paid attention to that Thanksgiving forecast because it's so far out. It's still a week and a day out from what we are looking at right now. So obviously those forecasts change pretty well, a little bit anyway, throughout the next week. So just stay tuned for those updates. But yeah, it looks like that rain would be moving in just before Thanksgiving. So I think that that wettest record is safe as well.
Yeah. So more of an issue, it looks like, this year for travel plans that you may have if you're going further away. And at least the scale of this system, it looks to be more of an impact on flights. Maybe some roads, too, if it's raining. But, you know, there's a lot of I saw a couple of meteorologists posting about how, at least in the modeling, it looks like a pretty strong upper-level type of system, which would cause some issues with turbulence. So that's where they're looking at the possibility of some flights maybe being delayed in some areas across the Midwest.
Which is never good around holidays.
No, yeah. So if you're driving, especially locally or at least regionally, you know, Tennessee, Indiana, places like that, I don't think you're going to be seeing any major impacts, but again, a lot can change between now and then. Obviously, if it's raining, that doesn't get the attention of snow, but can be still pretty dangerous. So even if it's raining, you need to take it easy on the roadways, but it looks to be more of a flight travel impact as opposed to roadways, at least in our area. So just keep an eye on that. Obviously, it's kind of traditional that the Wednesday is the busiest travel day, so if you're traveling out that day, that's the one we'll be watching out for. Flights maybe a little before or a little after, even up to Thursday, I guess. I guess roadways maybe Tuesday, Wednesday before flights. Flight will get you there faster. I don't know what I'm thinking. Whatever.
Depends on when you get time off of work, I guess,
that's
too.
True,
yeah, that's the main thing, too. But, yeah, I guess to go into that 7-day forecast, and we can kind of continue on with this Thanksgiving discussion and travel plans a little bit. So we are going to be having that cold front moving through. Depending on when you're listening to this, it's going to be moving through early Friday morning. So with that, that's going to be our first round of rain event that we'll be seeing throughout this week. So we'll be looking at having maybe a couple of showers out there, a few scattered showers starting to develop later in the Thursday afternoon and evening, maybe by the time that you're listening to this. But it looks like a lot of that rain will actually be holding off until the overnight hours. And then it looks like about Friday, 1 a.m. and continuing, especially throughout the morning hours on Friday as that front is moving through, we'll be seeing some widespread rain with some heavier pockets in there. And then it looks like we'll be able to catch a little bit of a dry break later in the afternoon and evening before we have another round of rain on Friday night and into Saturday morning. Now that cold front does cool us down. We're looking at temperatures dipping back down into those low 50s, which I think is kind of where we were this weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So pretty similar to what we had this past weekend is what we'll be seeing for this weekend. Mix of sun and clouds. Saturday is going to be mostly cloudy though, but Sunday looks like a decent day outside, just a little bit chilly with those high temperatures reaching in those lower 50s. So that is still below average. And then as we get into the beginning of next week, temperatures rebound again into those upper 50s as we get towards the beginning and middle of next week. But we have another cold front. That's what Cody was talking about. That'll be moving through, it looks like, early Wednesday morning. So with that, later in the day on Tuesday, could start to see some rain again, and that continuing throughout Wednesday. Now, Thursday, again, I have to say I didn't really look at that forecast, but it looked like it was going to be decently dry. But again, we only have, like, one model that goes out that far.
Right, yeah.
So one model as opposed to like six of them, not very trustworthy. So take that with a grain of salt, obviously, keep checking back. But it looks like that might be dropping temperatures just a little bit more down into those mid-50s again for us. So not really big temperature swings at least. So it looks like a pretty mild, a little bit on the cooler side Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And travel, like you said, main concerns would just be some rain. Now, the upper-level disturbances, that, again, might be impactful for the airplanes.
Yeah.
But normally, the good news, as long as it's not like thunderstorms or a snowstorm, normally those planes will still fly kind of around those disturbances.
Yeah.
So maybe a few delays, but shouldn't hopefully be too bad. Hopefully those flights will still be going out. And, yeah, hopefully your Thanksgiving will be great as well. Looks like it should be okay, but again, that's a little far out for to be certain.
I think it's still kind of the consensus in the weather world that pretty good up to day five. Days six and seven, it gets a little blurry just because the data, the science just isn't that good. It's not an exact science. So
Right. That's
why we always say, you know, trends are important. We follow trends, and a lot of times models that far out go back and forth a little bit, especially with timing and different placement and tracks of weather systems. So it's very important to keep an eye on the forecast, but also to stay up to date with the forecast because it does change.
Yes.
So what you see one day, don't hold on to that idea.
Yeah.
Because that will probably change, especially as you get further out in time. So,
Very important. If we end up getting rain on Thanksgiving, I don't want to hear any complaints that said,
Well,
back over a week ago on your podcast, you said it looked like it was going to be pretty dry. No, that's...
And we'll say, did you continue listening?
Right.
Because we said that would change.
Exactly. So, just be mindful of that. Again, just keep checking those forecasts. And we talked about average temperatures. Mm-hmm. So I will go over those averages real quick. As of right now, again, losing daylight still. So we are going to be seeing those averages still dropping a few degrees, a couple degrees as we head throughout the week. But right now, as I looked it up today, that typical high temperature, the normal high is 58 degrees and the normal low is 37 degrees. So we're kind of around those averages right now, but we're going to be dipping down below average again after that cold front moves through. Mm-hmm. And then finally, once we reach those average temperatures again, it looks like we'll have another cold front that will be bringing us below average. So kind of a little bit, not too much of a rocky pattern, but a little bit there.
Yeah.
And it's actually interesting now that I'm looking at it, the overnight lows the next few nights, that will be also impacting our averages a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably not enough, like Cody said, to really move us out of that top 10 anyway, coldest Novembers. But the overnight lows for the next couple of nights are going to be in those mid to upper 40s because we'll be having more cloud cover outside, so then the temperatures won't be dropping as much. But after that cold front moves through and those clouds start to clear out of here, then we'll be dropping down below seasonal averages again, right about that freezing mark, if not a little bit above freezing. So kind of a little bit of a wishy-washy pattern.
Yeah.
But I feel like for the rest of this month, it's probably going to be pretty mild in general for the weather, but still not enough to keep us from being one of the coldest Novembers that we've seen.
Yeah, so again, and we'll get a better handle on that by next week, because by next week we'll just have a few days left of November. So
yeah,
we'll be able to see the last few days in the forecast of November and have a better idea of where we'll end up. But yeah, I'd say it's probably a safe bet that we will end
probably
somewhere in the top 10. Maybe 10th to 7th, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, no major temperature swings, nothing crazy hot or cold, so just either near or below average, really, for the most part, at least what we can see right now.
Yes.
Thanksgiving and beyond, we'll have to wait until next week. But, that'll be next week if we have one again. A little uncertainty. We'll be here. Just our production partners at Woohoo 107 may be out of the office for a couple of days for the holidays, so understandably so.
Yes.
But again, we sometimes don't have that liberty in broadcasting and television, so we will be here. But if you're traveling away, I guess we'll go ahead and say have a safe travel, safe trip wherever you're headed. If you're staying here close to home, well, really everybody, obviously, have a happy Thanksgiving. But
yes.
Hopefully you enjoy. Hopefully it's not too cold or too rainy or too hot. I don't think it's going to be any of those, but...
Right.
Should
be all right.
Safe travels, happy Thanksgiving, and
yes.
It's a good time of year. A lot of people already celebrating Christmas, I know, but...
Yes.
Then after that, it's full steam ahead for December 25th.
Yes, exactly. And we've got Black Friday coming up right after
yes.
Thanksgiving,
Cyber Monday's picking up steam the last couple of years. It's... Good time of year to be a shopaholic.
Yes, it is.
Or bad, depending on your
Yeah, that too. And I guess if you're on a diet, looking forward for that cheat day on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends in high school who were on the wrestling team who were not happy about, you know, like, oh, I can't. Especially the ones trying to maintain. Heavyweights, they didn't care. You know,
they were like, this
whatever.
Is perfect. Yeah.
But yeah, trying to maintain weight. That was usually close to tournament time, I think, for my school. So it was especially
and it's hard with wrestling
to not eat too much. So
yeah.
Wrestling
is hard.
I was not even in that ballpark. So I was like, give me the food.
Right.
Come on, let's go.
And that's what I was going to say. I think for most of us, though, it's all right to go all out, bring out the stretchy pants.
Mm. Little motivation for you listening at home right now. I did see a t-shirt that I want on online the other day that said, leftovers are for quitters, so there's your motivation for Thanksgiving.
All right.
No leftovers left behind.
Challenge accepted. All right. Well, I think that will conclude our episode 56 of WNKY Weather Weekly. And we did it in about our normal time as well.
Yeah.
Almost a 50-minute podcast again.
Consistency.
Yes. I think that's our winning numbers now. But we had a lot to talk about today, and I hope that you enjoyed the discussion. I also hope that you obviously have a great Thanksgiving, but also tune in to see our new graphics system that will be debuting just before Thanksgiving. So lots of things to look forward to Thanksgiving week, and make sure that you do tune in sometime next week. We should have that podcast up again. Might be off from our regular day that we have it, but we should be able to get one to you.
Yeah.
And, of course, if we don't, we'll have one the following week. Not a big deal. But, yeah, that will be everything for episode 56. Again, send any questions, comments, concerns, ideas, whatever might cross your mind to weather@wnky.com. Well, I guess maybe not whatever crosses your mind, but you know what I mean.
We'll filter.
Yeah, with a filter there. Send that to us. That goes to the whole weather team, and we will respond to them, talk about them on our podcast maybe. Who knows? And also, I still need dog pictures.
Yeah.
So send those.
That's close.
Yes.
We got it in.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, I hope that you have a great week, great holiday. And with that, I've been meteorologist Christy Stewart.
And I've been meteorologist Cody Bailey.
Happy Thanksgiving.